It is the mission of the Black Parents United Foundation to educate and provide resources to improve health in disproportionately impacted communities. This includes Black, Brown, and Indigenous people who face increased barriers to accessing and utilizing health care. Greetings again, Amanda Morgan. Black Parents United Foundation Director Charnel Smith was selected to deliver the opening address on the climate change crisis to Vice President Kamala Harris during her visit to Denver. With insight into how this small yet strong staff fulfills its big mission is their health, equity, and wellness community coordinator, Alex Ibune.
The Black Parents United is an organization that was founded mainly around solving the problems that Black and Brown families have here in the Aurora and Denver area. We have a whole bunch of different departments, mainly focused around health, equity, and wellness, and environmental justice. A lot of these things in the Black community are sometimes overlooked. So as an organization, BPUF, we're trying to put it in the forefront of people's minds and say, okay, we exist and we're fighting for equality in all these spaces.
Environmental justice, for example, is that something a lot of African Americans talk about, or we really have more of a more of an interest in that than what the general population will give us a credit for?
Oh yeah, definitely. I feel like a lot of people don't understand the connection that we have to the stewardship of this land. A lot of the things that are sustainable, all of these practices, they come from Natives and Blacks and Hispanics. These are our cultures. So it's really important that they're defended and they're advocated for, and that's all what BPUF is about.
How was the organization formed?
I've been on the team for almost about 7 months now.
Yeah.
I do know that the team was formed by Black women. Cherie Walker, she's our executive director. She's an amazing woman. She works incredibly hard, and I feel like a lot of executive directors, you maybe see them once or twice,
yeah,
and that's it. But our director, she does the work.
Mm-hmm.
We see her at events. She's advocating for us. She's doing everything from small things. And then on top of that, we also have Lucy, who's one of our board members and also part of our team. She's a politician. She fights for the Hispanic community. And I'm gonna be honest. I personally don't believe too many politicians. Mm-hmm. But when I met Lucy and she started to talk about, you know, what she's passionate about and what she's experienced in her life, the first thing I thought was like, you know, I believe this woman. And she brings people and she brings energy and she goes to the politicians. She tells them exactly what we need.
Great.
So these are the people that are really the foundation, the backbone of BPUF. It's Black and Hispanic women who have come together to say, okay, we have issues that are not being solved by the government and are not being solved by current organizations. They come together to build these teams to solve these problems.
I think you have 5 program areas that you work in.
I work on the health, equity, and wellness team.
Okay.
And we focus on mainly just providing just that COVID-19 information and support along those lines. We've done a lot of work with CDPHE and other organizations in Aurora and Denver, just to make sure that the migrant community and members that are immigrants coming into Denver are getting the vaccines and all the information that they need to be healthy.
That's got to be a challenge with the migrants coming in with various languages and that kind of thing, to make sure that they do get the vaccines and get them properly. That's got to be a real toughie for you to do constantly.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of French speakers, Spanish speakers, and then few other languages that I couldn't list off to you to the top of my head.
Yeah.
There are a lot of different like probes of people that we've found different avenues to serve them, and we want to continue to do that in the future.
Since we're on health and wellness too, what kind of barriers and challenges do African Americans and Latino Americans face regarding health? You would think this is 2024, so we shouldn't have very many or limited barriers or challenges at all.
It's more of a personal barrier where a lot of their distrust for the federal government or the local government was like, I don't know if I should give my kids this COVID-19 vaccine, because we have remembrance of the Tuskegee experiments and things like that. We are facing these thoughts on the front line.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of just us saying, all right, we understand that these things have happened, but here's the data that we have, and here's the information that we can share with you that's going to make sure that you understand and you're making an informed decision for your family.
In addition to that, do we receive the services we need when we go to the hospital or go to a doctor? Are those still barriers, or are medical personnel a little more culturally sensitive?
I think this is something that we all need to continue to monitor. I know some places do it better than others here in Colorado, but it's something that we need to keep a strong eye on and make sure that Black people and Brown people are getting the support that we need from the hospitals and our doctors. Because I know far too many times, like what you're talking about, our struggles are being swept under the rug or being undermined as something that's not serious. And that's some of the worst injustice that we could see in the health industry.
In working on health and wellness, do you also advise your clients or the communities regarding health resources, which may be available to them that they probably didn't know about?
We always try to connect. That's one of our main goals at our events. If we're not giving vaccines, we are always trying to connect people with resources or information that they might not have.
Yeah, are there new resources that are coming online that the African American and Latino American communities need to know something about?
Well, I think right now, one of the big fights that we're talking about is a lot of the lobbying things. There's a lot of information that's coming out and a lot of changes that are going out into the social sphere that a lot of people might not be aware of. I know for a fact right now, the health and wellness team is working on a radon project where we're going to be testing people's homes for high levels of radon. And radon is basically a chemical or it's hard to explain exactly what it is, but it's a substance that poisons people and causes cancer.
Yeah.
So we're going to be testing for it in people's homes and educating individuals on the dangers of it. And if you're a renter, you're entitled to get that taken out of your house completely free.
That brings up a question. Was there some study or something that was done that found that we had high levels of radon in the community?
Yeah, we have. We've identified many instances of high levels of radon and things of that nature, and we just want to make sure that people are aware of this.
Wow.
I think, like, you would probably be one of the few people that know if you ask somebody on the street, like, hey, have you heard about the radon problem we have here? Uh-huh. You'd be trying to maybe, like, what is radon? I don't know anything about that. So that's kind of our goal, is to just, like, inform people and then empower people to do something about it.
So I guess radon can have some really serious negative health effects if it goes continuously unchecked.
Definitely, definitely. But I do know that it's something that affects individuals with basements. Like if you have a basement, that's where it's coming from, because it's coming from the ground. It's kind of rising from the ground up.
Switching to COVID-19 real quick, I guess it's also a tough challenge for you all to talk about the vaccines, because they got to change like every year or so because of the variants in them. Are you finding minority communities more accepted of what this thing is because it's novel and it's always changing and they may have to get more than one shot?
Yeah, I think that was some feedback that we took from the event that we had with the other day. It was kind of just like some people understand that they may need to take a COVID vaccine every year. Mm-hmm. And then other people are kind of on the lines of, I've taken a few and I might not be taking some moving into the future. So I think it kind of just goes into making informed decisions, deciding, okay, what do you want for your family?
Well, you also have the situation where, because they don't see very much anymore about COVID-19 on the nightly television news, but it's still killing about 3,000 people a week in America. And getting people to understand that, it's got to be another challenge for you.
Definitely. I want to make it clear that COVID-19 is still here. It is a problem. It is a pandemic, and it's killing people, especially Black people. So we want to make sure people are protecting themselves by getting vaccinated and understanding exactly what you're talking about with those statistics. They're not getting better. Yeah. And the best way that you can defend yourself and your loved ones is to get vaccinated.
Let me ask you about education real quick. Your strategy of connecting workplaces and classrooms, how does that work?
So I'm actually a product of Denver Public Schools internship programs.
Yeah.
They actually, it goes from internships to apprenticeships. And this was something that was really a connection with BPUF's work. Because our main goal at BPUF is getting kids to understand exactly the importance of skills outside of the classroom, So a lot of our work is connecting kids with industry, with workplace, and then also connecting them with skills and things of that nature. So we do a lot of project-based work with students. We are in the process of thinking about internships in connection with BPS. A lot of things of that nature are going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we took students, about, 15 or so students, to a climate con where the mayor spoke, and they got to ask a lot of questions specifically about what's happening with climate justice and what people are doing. And it was super impactful for them because it was almost like we as adults were talking about their future, and they were the only kids in the room. So we had a lot of great students go to that. And we see a lot of interest from the students to go out to these events. So we're trying to connect with more schools in DPS, APS, and just get them out.
You also have something that caught my eye, too, and you may be able to speak to. De-stressing youth? Are youth under that much stress that people have to create a de-stressing programs for them?
I think you'd be surprised. What I would say is that the youth of today, their issues are not being highlighted. They struggle with a lot of anxiety, a lot of mental health issues, and we want to make sure that we're bringing this to the forefront. A lot of my managers, my mentors, they have kids, and especially teenage kids.
Sure.
And it's hard for them to just navigate this world, especially when they had almost 2 years of their development stolen from them. So we want to make sure that we are giving them all the space that they need to develop as just youth. And then also give them spaces to develop their social skills and then deep stress. All of these things are important to us.
Is mental health outreach a part of the work that that you do?
We're currently trying to make it a big part of our work. As the Hugh department, we're going to make mental health a big part of what we start to transition into. Because COVID-19 is still an issue, but we want to make sure what we're branching out into things like mental health to make sure that students are being supported, workers are being supported, everything.
I noticed that some of your work extends to Jonestown, Mississippi. I'm curious, you working in two places then, in Mississippi and in Colorado?
Oh, yeah. BPUF is national. So we definitely have partners in Mississippi, a whole branch, in fact, that's operating in Mississippi. I don't have too much information on what they're doing and how they're going through, but I know that we have plans to visit there and collaborate with them in the near future.
How do youth become involved with the programs that and outreaches that you're doing?
So right now, we're a small team. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time connecting with teachers, connecting with principals, and just getting into the schools when we have specific events going on. But it would really be great for us to really receive contacts from the schools and say, hey, we have a lot of students who are interested in this, and we want to find some place to take them.
Is there anything else that you need to share with the general public about the work that you all are doing there and the effectiveness of the outreaches that you've put together?
We spend a lot of time probably working in the background doing the work that you don't see. We spend a lot of time supporting community members that are often forgotten. We want to make sure that you understand that we're here to support Black communities, brown communities, and just make sure that minorities are represented.
Many thanks to Alex Ibune, Health, Equity, and Wellness Community Coordinator for the Black Parents United Foundation, for sharing his insights with us on this edition. You can gain additional insight and support their work by going online to Black Parents United Foundation, oneword.org. I'm Adam Morgan, and many thanks to you as well for sharing a few moments of your weekend with us.